Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Not Combination Podcast Show. JT, are you hot for teacher?
Oh, man. You're starting off with that? Oh,
I'm sorry. It feels important. It feels
It is important. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Hot for is that not one of the funnest songs to play? Like, you just play that in the car, and the kids get into it because the drums are awesome.
And they have no idea what they're actually singing.
They have no idea. No, but right. I mean, like, it's just a – Van Halen is – and Eddie Van Halen specifically, we can debate the merits of his play. And some people say he's the greatest. Some people say top five. Some people say he's overrated. But as far as fun rock and roll bands, it's hard to find a much more fun band than Van Halen. You know, like, just songs that make you have a good time, you know?
Yeah, and it's arguable that I've heard people argue this. Eddie Van Halen, the greatest guitarist of all time. He's not mine,
yeah,
but he's up there. He's way up there on the mount, especially like touch and feel and speed and just everything combined. Like, I don't know.
He's pretty solid. Really, you know, spurned an entire generation of 80s glam rock guitarists that were Eddie Van Halen, you know? So when you look at his impact on music, I mean, Van Halen, their first album came out in 78. So by 81, when the hairband swing was starting, I mean, Van Halen was leading the way as far as, you know, they were the top dogs.
Van Halen, Eddie, the most built guitarist of all time?
You mean as far as like...
Oh, he's like ripped.
Ripped? Yeah, he's like, in good shape.
Yeah.
Slash is in good shape, but he's not like muscular. He's not like.
I know so much Slash from now compared to when he was younger. Now, Slash just looks like an old man that plays a lot of really good guitar.
I didn't plan on this long.
Yeah, right, right. Exactly. Like, I really thought I would have died 30 years ago.
Right. Eddie's probably like the man's man guitarist, you know, just like, look, I don't know much, but I know that Van Halen kicks butt. And Eddie Van Halen's awesome. And it's just music for guys that like to party and have a good time. You know, it's fun stuff. It stinks that he died today, man, because I don't know. All the experts rank him up there in the top five. You know, they know a lot more than I do. People like Rolling Stone, Guitar Magazine, places like that. He's highly ranked, highly regarded.
Yeah.
All I know is I can't play that. You know, you hear some of his stuff and go, that sounds really hard to play.
While we're talking about it, we have to answer this because it's the Knock Combination Podcast Show. It feels important that we have an official take on this.
Right.
David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
Oh, David Lee Roth, hands down.
Oh,
not
really?
Even close. David Lee Roth to me is one of the best rock and roll frontmen of all time, as far as personality, attitude, stage presence. Yeah. Now, is he a total like jerk and a doofus? Yeah. Of
course. Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of what makes
the appropriate word. Yeah.
That's what being a rock and roll star is all about. And David Lee Roth is one of the few guys that kind of personifies a rock and roll star. Like,
you know,
Sammy Hagar, you know, he's good and vocally maybe better. Like, he's got some pipes, Sammy Hagar.
I think the music was better under David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
But it was more popular and singable under Sammy, maybe?
Probably so. And that maybe is because, like, where we came along in our time frame, by the time we were kids in the 90s, the only Van Halen we knew, like, we had, you know, it was Sammy Hagar. Because he was there by the late 80s and the 90s. And it was more kind of generic, radio-friendly. Rock pop, you know, like, David Lee Roth was more of sex appeal and, you know, being a little risque and more of the 80s, you know, kind of thing.
Who banged more chicks, Van Halen I'll make it a three way.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses, Van Halen, Guns N' Roses, or, oh my God, my mind just blanked. Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Def Leppard.
Def Leppard.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'd have to go Van Halen. I think Def Leppard would be too polite. And then Guns N' Roses are too young. They would, you know, they were, I don't know. They seemed like kids. And they probably were. My goodness. When, like, Appetite for Destruction came out, I think they were, like, 20. But Van Halen, man, like, I don't know. They were legendary partiers for sure.
Also, they never hesitated on the sexual innuendo in their lyrics. I mean, not that any of the three did, but Van Halen.
They had an album called For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge.
Yeah.
I'll let you do the math as to what for unlawful carnal knowledge means.
Yeah.
I mean, my dad is not a music guy at all. And one concert he'll talk about going to was Van Halen. Like, it was, you know, the coolest thing he'd ever seen. So,
I'm sure. And nobody had ever heard of that. To be able to go back to old concerts would be a ton of fun. You know, like, I would love to see Queen in their prime.
I would love
especially before they were like mega Queen, like Queen when they were still in 20,000-30,000 venues, maybe even a little smaller, you know, but not these giant 100,000 seat auditorium kind of things. But, you know, like Queen at like the Tabernacle would be amazing. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing.
The bad side of concerts is you pay the most amount of money for the least amount of return. Like if you go see Aerosmith, you're going to pay more for the worst version of Aerosmith just because they're all like 70 years old. Like it's just you know, it's bound to happen, but you're still paying $200 a ticket. Whereas if you went and saw Van Halen in 1984, you're probably paying $25, which a lot of money in 1984.
Yeah.
But you're getting a show. Like you're getting to see them in their prime. It's like paying to see like Willie Mays play for the Mets. You know, it's like, you really want that.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to time travel and see these guys because I don't know if we're going to have rock stars anymore. Like our kids are going to grow up with rock star posters on their wall or idolizing guys play guitar like the way we did and our parents did, you know, like rock and roll is just not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
That's the most old man thing I've ever said.
there's still hope from Nickelback, man, that we're all going to be big rock stars. You're right.
Yeah.
Drive fancy cars.
But if you had to say who would be this generation's Eddie Van Halen or who epitomizes a rock star, you know, like a David Lee Roth of today, there is nobody.
Yeah, you know? I mean, seriously, like I was sitting there thinking about that, something like very similar to that. And he was in the news this week. And of all people, I think you have to go back to like our generation almost to find like a rock star. And like Lenny Kravitz is like
Kravitz,
the last like actual
Dave Grohl probably as far as
Dave Grohl. Dave Grohl's like a nice guy. Like rock stars aren't nice guys. They're not supposed to be nice guys.
They're supposed to be legendary. And like I heard he did this or he burned down this hotel room or allegedly got arrested for peeing on the Alamo or whatever like Ozzy Osbourne did, you know?
Chris Cornell.
And we don't have, maybe it's because of social media now that we know are heroes, you know, so they're no longer mythical figures, you know what I mean? But you know, there were legendary stories of Ozzy and Led Zeppelin and Van Halen. And you're not going to have that anymore because everything has to be, we have to know everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, kind of stinks, man. JT, the Braves won today, though. That
does
it. Yeah,
on the plus side, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really the whole point of this episode, I guess, at the end of the day, is we're here to celebrate a Braves victory over the Fish. F the Fish. F for Fish. F the Fish. Either way. It was a typical Braves-Marlins game.
Yeah. I felt, you know, it kind of reminded me of the same thing we'd said before that, man, I've seen this movie, you know.
Yep.
Here we are. The Braves pitch well. Max Fried has had an outstanding year. And then he gets to the playoffs and, you know, balls start dropping.
I will say that I'm mildly concerned about Fried. Not for the playoffs, exactly. But in the long run, I'm mildly concerned about Fried. Because here's a guy that started off the year throwing 98, and now he's sitting 95, you know. Mm. Now, some of that, look, he's fatigued. It's late in the year. That being said, I would much prefer Max Fried that throws 98, you know. Some of that, maybe he's still just growing up. You know, I'm not going to hang it all on him and be, like, down on him or anything exactly. But I'm a little concerned long-term, especially you make a deep playoff run next year. Maybe they need to give him off until, you know, May next year or something. I don't know. Let the dude rest.
I mean, anyway. It's been a weird year. It's I don't know. I try not to get too alarmed because it has been a weird year as far as, you know, getting your body ready. And then all of a sudden everything's on a 3-month hiatus and then you got to get ready again. And it's just, and he's still young enough to where he's still learning how to do those things and how to prepare his body to go through the rigors of a season.
I'll say this. He wasn't bad today.
No, he wasn't. Really, it's just in light of how good he was during the regular season. You know?
Right.
It was like, okay, by comparison, this was a rough day. But that's pretty good, all things considered.
He didn't have his curveball. Obviously, he didn't really have a feel for it. He had it in the first, and then he lost it. And then on top of that, I did feel like the strike zone was a little rough to him. I felt like the ump behind the plate called a consistent game, but I didn't think he did Max Fried many favors. And I think that got him in a little trouble. And then you had dinks and dunks mixed in with it. And before you know it, you're down, you know, 3-0 or well, it was never 3-0, but 3-1, 4-1. And then you're coming back. But I didn't think Fried looked bad, but this is Fried we've been used to now for the past month and a half. Right. I mean, not his 98-mile-an-hour fastball and not necessarily his best curve, but plenty good enough to still get win, you know?
Yeah, plenty good enough to keep you in the ball game, and that's a characteristic of Max Fried that I really enjoy, is that he rarely ever lets it snowball away and lets it run off the tracks. Nobody's going to have their A stuff all the time. That just doesn't happen. The best pitchers are guys that can still keep you in the game and give you a chance to win when they've got the B stuff like he had today. And he kept us in the ball game long enough for us to mount a comeback and stay in it. And I think once we got those two other runs on the board and it was 4-3 Marlins, we were like, okay, with our bullpen, we're in this. We've got, you know, five more frames to figure this out. And we knew we would. And that was huge to kind of get that energy going after Acuna once again was hit by a pitch. It seemed to energize us a lot.
Yeah.
And they even mentioned that on the broadcast too.
All right. And we'll dig into that here in just a few minutes, but I kind of wanted to gloss over the other parts of the game before we got into the details of it. What do we think of Snicker pulling him after the fourth?
You know, I think it's a good decision if you have the entire five-game set in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if this goes five games, we're going to need Max Fried again. Who knows in what capacity? And the fact is, we've got the best bullpen in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, why do we spend all that money on the bullpen if you're not going to use it?
Exactly.
And bullpen came through with five innings pitched, giving up one earned run. I'll take that every time. So that's you got to play to your strengths, and major strength of Atlanta is our bullpen. That's a major plus for us. And so why go out there and just keep grinding Max into the ground when clearly he doesn't have his best stuff? He's given us enough to keep us around. Hang tight. You're not done in this series yet. We'll see you again.
Yeah.
Save your bullets.
Yeah. I thought it was a smart decision too. Or, you know, it's not what you go into the game hoping for. You hope to have got six, maybe even seven out of Max and, you know, him be lights out. But I do think it really plays up well to a second best scenario kind of thing. It's certainly not disastrous. And I do think it sets you up well if you end up needing a game five. And if not, Max gets a really good bit of rest and hopefully some rejuvenation on that arm and shoulder and everything before the NLCS, if you make it there. You know, not counting chickens before we hatch. Don't get me wrong.
This from a momentum standpoint. Look, I mean, they had a chance. They had our best starter rocked, and he was rollicking there. He was on shaky legs, and you had a chance to really, really deflate our balloon, man. If we went out there and laid an egg in game one with our best pitcher, and now we're going uphill with some unproven guys and Kyle Wright and Ian Anderson coming up. I mean, that's deflating. Fact is, that was your best chance. You had to beat Max Fried. You couldn't do it. So you had your shot. And so I think that's a huge takeaway for the Braves is that, hey, Marlins should have won that game today. They had a great opportunity to win. They weren't able to against Max at his worst. So, let's go from here, but that's huge.
Yeah, I thought so too. And that brings us, of course, to the big thing. I mean, Acuna leads off the game with a bomb, which, you know, Acuna does, especially against the Marlins. Do you know that if you expanded Acuna's Marlins trajectory career, right? Over 162 game season, he would average hitting 65 home runs against them.
Good Lord. That's incredible.
Yeah.
He seems to play not, well, not just play, but he has an energy even in the dugout that seems a little different with the Marlins.
Yeah.
Like,
especially after they punked him after that, you know, he had that five game leadoff homer streak, you know, and Urena plunks him and to open the game, he plunks him, you know, I mean, like yeah. It was obviously on purpose, no doubt kind of thing. And I see Marlins fans on Twitter like saying, man, we're so tired of this narrative that the Marlins are trying to hit Ronald Acuña. Well, dude, it's five times now you've hit him in the last 2 years. And I saw some of our buddies over at Fish, whatever they are, Fish, I don't remember.
Fish Army.
Fish Army. Yeah, talking about how the Braves have also hit Brian Anderson six times in almost the same number of at-bats and plate appearances, and they've also hit Miguel Rojas in the same number of appearances. The difference is, the Braves didn't hit those guys after they hit a home run.
Retaliation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you can hit Acuña, chances are you're going to have some of your guys getting hit, probably your best guys.
Yeah.
And guys, Brian Anderson, Miguel Rojas, whoever they are. You know, look, it is baseball, and I don't think that it was intentional.
Yeah.
Today. I don't think it was.
You got to get him out. Well, I did today. I thought so.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll talk about why, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, go ahead. I didn't think it was because it just seemed dumb to do.
It does seem dumb, but watching the catcher on the replay, he set up behind Acuña. Like, It wasn't inside. He set up behind him. Like, yeah. I don't know why you would set up there for any other reason except to plunk him. Like, if he dives back out of the way, you're set to catch the ball. Like, if the catcher doesn't do that, I 100% agree with you.
Right.
Like, because why in the world would you do this in a playoff game? It doesn't make sense. But the catcher literally sat up behind his butt. Like, why? Like, I understand pitching inside, but this wasn't inside. Like, he was literally behind him. Yeah. It was wild.
And you know what? Did Acuña hit the home run in Showboat? Of course he didn't. But it's also a big home run in the playoffs, and he's an energetic player. And there's a lot of guys that are energetic players. And I'm sorry you don't like it, but, dude, that's part of the game now is we're letting the kids have fun, right? So, yeah. I mean, look, the NFL used to ban touchdown dances. Now they said, you know what? You guys want to do a touchdown dance? Do a touchdown dance.
Yeah.
So don't go over there and push somebody because they scored a touchdown, did a dance you didn't like. Stop them from scoring the touchdown. And it's kind of the same thing. We want to let the kids play. Well, let them play and quit with this – you know, hit them. If you want to pay the Braves back because Ronald Acuña showboated, going up four runs to one is a good way to do it.
Right.
Beat us in game one if you want to retaliate. That's a great way to do it. I don't know. To me, there is a part, I kind of agree with you on this, Ken. They've lost the benefit of the doubt to say, it wasn't intentional. Because at this point, dude, you hit him so many times, it's like... You know,
and again, it's when they hit him. It's not just that you hit a batter. It's that you've done. We know Urania did it on purpose. There's zero doubt he did. We know the other one, at least one of the other ones was on purpose. So they've hit him five times and at least three of them were after home runs. And it may even be higher than that, but we know at least three of them were. And at that point, you're like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? If you can't pitch inside, don't. Like, if you can't pitch inside without hitting the guy, you have to stop pitching inside.
Look, your pitchers have to be able to pitch on the inside of the plate. I get that. That's what makes it incredibly hard once the umpire has already ruled warnings automatically, which I hate, on both sides. Because now you're limiting both pitchers from being able to use a portion of the plate that's rightfully theirs to use. Because now they're going to be skittish because, oh, man, if Max Fried tries to pitch inside the next inning and it accidentally comes in too far and accidentally hits somebody, then Max Fried's tossed from the game.
Right.
Well, crap, we can't play under those circumstances. I mean, how tough is that? And did that make Max's job today harder? Of course it did.
Yeah.
And that's a big reason why Snicker was upset, and I agree. You can't go with this warning system. If it's on purpose, throw them out. If not, then don't. But when you throw in the warnings, then you're changing the entire game plan and the makeup for the pitcher, and it makes it incredibly difficult for both pitchers to then do anything. You know, because if I'm going to mispronounce his name, Alcantara, is that right?
Yeah.
Hit somebody again. You know, what if Acuña comes up again? He struck him out, but what if he had come up again, pitched inside, and it bounces off Acuña's thigh? Right. And he didn't mean to this time, but now, because, you know, now he's thrown out of the game, you got a whole benches clearing brawl. You've got multiple suspensions and all this other stuff where the refs could have just handled it from the get go.
Right. You know, and that's the annoying part is you're warning the Braves over something the Braves didn't even do, you know, like, yeah. And now they're on, you know, shaky ground over the rest of the game. Fortunately, yeah, it didn't hurt the Braves at all, but, and, you know, later Chris Martin does hit somebody, but it's on like the 13th pitch of the at bat. There's no way he meant to hit him. Yeah, you know,
you saw his mannerisms afterwards. He was immediately apologetic and, you know, didn't mean to. Now,
the rest of this, it was a huge mistake. Whether they meant to or not, this is like the Michael Jordan making up stories about, you know, so-and-so talking junk when so-and-so never had anything to do with anything. Like, I believe they meant to hit him. But even if they didn't, this is – you just gave a team all the reason they needed that was kind of quiet, a team that you had basically subdued. You just pissed them off, you know, and – now, here comes the big guns, and before you know it, they come roaring back.
Yeah, and it was that really felt like they mentioned on the broadcast that this is kind of like waking a sleeping bear, and they did it really rejuvenated the lineup, got some energy going in there, and you know, they were able to put up two runs and coming into 4-3 now instead of 4-1, the team felt like, okay, we can win this game now because now we have what, five extra frames to make up this one run with our bullpen and with this lineup that the Braves have had so many come from behind wins that it's nothing worries them now, you know? So
yeah,
I felt like at 4-3, I knew we were winning the game at that point and we were still down a run.
Well, welcome in to Marlins fan, Josh Brown, who just joined the podcast while wearing a Marlins hat. I know he's a little disappointed that Jesus didn't pull through for him today. I mean, Jesus, but hey, Josh, right, how are you, buddy?
To be able to make it. Hey, JT.
Well, that's why Josh. I sent you an invite anyways, because I wasn't sure. So, you know, sometimes we just get lucky.
You're welcome. I'm glad you guys could see me tonight. Looks like JT's really excited. And can't blame you guys.
Can't blame us. For being
You wearing a Lightning jersey?
He is.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing's sweet, man. I love it.
Practice jersey on.
I love
it.
It's
the NHL draft tonight. So GM just said he might be on the he's not listed as an untouchable. They need to free up some salary cap room. So who knows? Captain might get traded. But rocking this new thing I got, it's pretty sweet.
Hockey jerseys are awesome.
Super
cool. They're way cooler than like other sports jerseys, in my opinion.
Yeah, my wife was like, "You don't need a hockey jersey." And when I put it on, she's like, "Oh, that looks really good." I'm like, "Thank you."
No, we had this discussion though, didn't we, Josh? That people that wear sports jerseys for the most part,
those are baseball jerseys,
right? So. That's what I was getting at. Baseball jerseys are kind of weird, but JT also wears baseball jerseys, so
he's a little bit of an anomaly though, because I guess before I knew JT.
This is the sound of Josh backpedaling, just for the record of everyone.
The only examples that I had in my life of Braves fans wearing jerseys were just creepy old guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I won't typically wear a jersey all the time. For the most part. Like if I go to a regular season game, I'll probably wear a Braves polo and shorts. Yeah. But playoffs, breaking out the big guns. Going with the jerseys. It's more of like a special occasion kind of thing.
I always feel like there's that segment of jersey wearers that are real douches. Not all of them, but there's this segment that get like weird things put on the names on the back. Yeah. Like, you know, and I'm always like, you know, I don't know about those people. And I don't want someone else thinking I'm that guy. So I've never been like, I'm going to wear. And then you have the people that wear the fake jerseys. And that's even worse. Like, it's like a jersey. It's like a jersey almost.
I like the actual jersey. It's a way to say, okay, I will put on some Braves wear, but I don't want to spend $120. I'll spend $25. Okay.
Here's the jerseys, though, that I really don't care for, though. The ones with the buttons.
Yeah.
The ones with, like, the three buttons.
Yeah. I'm talking about just the t-shirt, not, like, the – yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, just the t-shirt. I don't even know if I'd classify the t-shirt as a jersey. I guess they would be a jersey, I guess.
Like the name and number on the back, you know?
Like, John D. Howard bought me a Markakis one, yeah. you know, yeah. and it just has the Braves logo with Markakis. So I guess that's a jersey, I guess.
See, usually it's so dang hot at a Braves game. I don't want to wear one jersey. No,
yeah, I guess just a t-shirt.
Like the newer jerseys, they are the breathable, like cool. This says Cool Breeze or something on there. It's the technology, and it's really light. Now, I've got a Chipper Jones one from about 10 years ago, and it's like it's like wearing a wool parka. It's ridiculous. So, they make them a little better now, but like older jerseys, they're heavy and like really hot, and you won't wear that in July. Like, it's miserable.
Yeah. I was a goober and for completely stupid podcast video purposes, I might have purchased an actual MLB like turtleneck.
Ah.
Like the kind that Chipper Jones wore.
Yeah, yeah. They're super warm, aren't they?
They're super warm. So if you guys are listening, if you ever thought about doing this, not that anyone has except for me and maybe one other idiot. But if you ever do, they run super small. So I got a large. It's skin tight, but it's made to wear underneath the jersey. So I think it's supposed to be tight. But yeah, super warm. Way too warm.
That sounds sexy. I'm just saying.
It's not comfortable.
Yeah.
JT, you wear really good in that thing.
Do you wear it as men's lingerie, Josh, for your wife? You know, like put it on and does she like it when you wear the super tight shirt?
No. Nikki likes it when I put on my boxer shorts and then pull the waistband as far up as I can. That's really, it's Adidas. I love it. JT, y'all can't see, but JT's showing us his jersey. That's really nice. I love that, man.
Yeah, it's even got a little strap in the back where you hook it onto your hockey shorts. Like, it's like a real deal jersey.
JT with the strap on NHL jersey.
Rocking the strap on. I didn't think I'd be doing that.
See, I'm a Canes fan just because like that's the team I got into when I moved up here. And I'll admit, like I didn't get into them as much as you've gotten into the Lightning, but the Canes, like I don't really care for their like logo and stuff like that. Yeah. Their new one's okay, actually.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they're as popular as they are because like it's Raleigh. You wouldn't consider Raleigh hockey territory.
Dude, at least honestly,
you can blame it on all the transplants from up north. You know, they got a whole lot of Yankees. But
no, I thought that too. Not to like, well, actually, you guys, but I thought the same thing because I'm from Georgia, like you guys are. But like Raleigh is Raleigh's huge.
Yeah,
like the Tri-City area or the Triad, it's huge. It's like one of the biggest, most growing areas like in the country. So yeah, so there's a lot of people out there. Yeah.
Yeah. Josh, we were just talking about Acuña getting plunked and how it was the biggest turning point of the game and really dumb for the Marlins. But we said, I thought he did it on purpose. JT thinks that maybe they didn't do it on purpose. Either way, it really doesn't matter. I would like your take on that. But at the end of the day, I was using the example, it's kind of like Michael Jordan making up reasons to basically ball out and destroy some kid that had done anything to him, you know?
Yeah, great comparison.
They meant to or not, this was the narrative the Braves needed to wake the giant, as JT was talking about. So what was your thoughts on it, Josh?
Well, so I was watching it, and when it happened, I kind of didn't know if it was on purpose. I was like, I don't know. And then I kind of liked how Acuña actually handled it like a man. Like, you know what I mean? It looks like he got hit in the butt or the hip, and he's walking it off. And, you know, it looks like the Marlins bench is probably getting a little antsy. And you could see Acuña, like, putting his hand out. Like, hey, it's cool. Hey, it's cool. I'm just walking it off. So that's kind of the vibe I got. And I was like, big ups on Acuña for, like, you know, like being a man about it and not being a little, you know, little bitch and, you know, charging the mound. And, you know, so he took his base and everything. And then in post-game interview, I watched what's the dude's name that plunked him? I forgot his name already.
Alcantara. So
his post game interview tells me it was totally on purpose, like 100%. Because he was like, I mean, he was like saying some stuff like, he's like, I'm ready to fight if he wants to fight, you know, I don't care, you know, total attitude, like kind of ridiculous, over the top. I watched the Braves post game show, the Braves Live post game show. Peter Moreland was on there and he said it best. And he kind of said what you just said, Ken. He said, listen, there's no fans right now. There's no fans. And so these players are starved for some kind of like, I don't think he said story, but like some motivation. Some kind of motivation. And the Marlins just gave them that. You know what I mean? And it really, when you look back at it like that, it really was really dumb. the way they did that. Because he's right. There's no fans. These guys are – they're like we are. They feed off of energy. They feed – you know what I mean? Like with us, we need, you know, as content creators, we need something to push back on. You know, for us, it's like stats nerds. You know,
necessity of an enemy. Like in all our lives, there's a necessity of an enemy. We need an enemy to motivate us in a way, you know.
Absolutely. And you just gave Acuna that. And to your point, whether it was intentional or not, it doesn't matter. He has taken that and he has made that his identity. Right now, and the whole team has just rallied around it, and you just woke up a beast, in my opinion. And I made this analogy on Twitter. I'm being silly, but it's kind of true. It would be like, and I tried to make some kind of music analogy. It would be like giving the band, like I watched the band documentary recently on Hulu. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It would be like giving the band a house to live in Woodstock, New York, middle of nowhere, away from everybody, with a full studio, and then inviting Bob Dylan over. And then expecting like nothing to happen or not even that, laughing at it and be like, oh, look at these idiots. I bet nothing awesome happens. You just hit Ronald Acuna on live TV and you just gave those guys all the motivation to win and kick your butts. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. And this was the thing, like for me, Josh, when I watched the replay, the catcher sat up behind Acuna. Like he wasn't inside setup. I didn't even
notice that.
It was really? Like the gloves behind his butt. Like they were meaning to hit him, which,
okay.
Which I don't get. Like why? I don't know if that's called by Donnie Baseball. I gotta think it's not. That does not seem like Don Mattingly to do that.
Yeah, we make fun of Don Mattingly, but I agree. And Peter Moylan said that too. Peter Moylan said that he thinks it was coming from somewhere else. And he kind of implied that it was maybe coming from either the players, like on the field or up above, but I don't think it would be up above. I think it was just the players. And, you know, I mean, if they were up 7-0 or like 10-2, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be different. Okay. Let's plunk Ronald Acuna. You know what I mean? And kind of get him back for, you know, whatever happened a year ago, you know what I mean? But they weren't up 7-0. They weren't, you know what I mean? So yeah. it was baseball dumb. And I'm a guy, like I said on Twitter, I'm a guy that loves brawls.
Oh, I love it. I love brawls. Fan. I love like, all I have no stuff. Problem with but it.
If I'm a Marlins fan, like if that was the Braves, right? I would be like, you idiots. You just gave up base runners. And I'm never that guy too. I make fun of those guys. You know what I mean? But I would totally be that guy because there's no fans. There's not a lot of motivation. There's no energy. It's fake. Crowd noise is weird. But you just gave them motivation.
Yeah. It was it felt really dumb. And then Acuna, now this is where it gets fun, is after the game, Acuna first of all puts up the picture of him flipping the bat and says, I just want to apologize to absolutely nobody. And I thought that was great. Yeah. And then Acuna tweets, they hit me because they can't get me out, which is kind of funny because they did get him out a couple times a day, but he hit the home run. And I love the Marlins fans that take it literal. Like our buddy Ash, she was on, you know, she was on the show with us yesterday, but she was tweeting, we literally shook you out twice. I'm like, Ash, I think you missed the point of what he was saying. Like, and I was telling JT, if you expand his stats against the Marlins to 162 game season, he's on pace to hit 65 home runs against them.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? Yeah.
With a .318 batting average. He's in 200 plate appearances.
You know, and he's being, you know, I thought it was funny. This guy came to his defense. He's being a Trevor Bauer. He's being a heel. He's
acting
a little bit, you know.
Yeah, and Trevor Bauer loves it.
Hit him again tomorrow, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But, you know, he's kind of, you know, like you said, the Jordan comparison. He's got to find the edge, you know, that they need to play off of. And the team feeds off his energy. And that's great because Acuna's a guy. We love him. But if Acuna was a New York Met, oh my God, we'd hate this guy.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So
I laughed at Marlins fans though, because Marlins fans, they don't know how to deal with this yet. And I think some of it's just when you've been gutter dwellers for so long, you don't know what to do. You know, like bottom feeders, they're trying to play into that narrative. there's only two ways to handle this as Marlins fans. One, either you stop hitting him after he hits home runs, right? Like that's one mm-hmm. way to change the narrative. The other is to go full heel and be like, heck yeah, we hit you. And the next time you come up, we're going to hit you again. Like, exactly. And we're going to hit you again, and we're going to hit you again, and we're going to hit you again because we're not scared of you. And then just brawl out, you know, just brawl
and
out.
Maybe the Marlins, like the actual baseball team, maybe they're doing that. Maybe the fans we see on Twitter aren't, and they're not, they're not in it yet, but they're not in on it. But based on the post game interview I saw with whatever his name is, they did that. And I had honestly, like, I'm like, that's cool. Like, talk all the junk you want, you know. I mean, you guys got to see the interview. It was very like, it was. I think he said fight. I think he was like, I'll fight.
I wonder if they're trying to escalate things so that there's a brawl, and we get a couple guys suspended, and then our lineup isn't as potent, you know. Because honestly, the last thing I want to see is Ronald Acuña charge the mound. And a bunch of guys around the dugout, and then we got suspensions, and now we're like, what? Seriously? Like in the playoffs?
Because MLB would do that. Good point. Right. They would do that. Yeah.
We figure it out in spring training next year. But dude, during the playoffs, and I think Snit will bring that home in team meetings. Like, well, this let me is be not the time or the place. You know, if things get elevated again tomorrow, play the game, and we'll deal with it later. But we're
not going to tell them that. But it, a week. But if, you know? if they hit Acuña tomorrow, the benches are going to clear and the Braves are going to.
I'm not worried about them hitting Acuña tomorrow. I'm worried about doing something to them. You know, if Ian Anderson, who's a young guy, and I think has a pretty good head on his shoulders, but I don't think Snit would ever tell him to. But what if he decides, hey, we're going to get you guys back, you know, for what you did to our guy, you know? And make no mistake, Ronald Acuña is their guy. This is a player on the Braves. This is the guy on the Braves. Freddie Freeman is the face of the franchise as far as billboards go and stuff, and been there, the tenured guy and the locker room presence. As far as the guy that the team feeds off of, man, it's Acuña. The team goes as Acuña goes, no doubt. And so is there a chance that Ian Anderson puts one in somebody's butt top of the first? Maybe. Kind of hope not, because I want to see a fight now. Because, you know.
I would be surprised. I don't think this team's – I don't think they care about retaliation. And if you watch them today, they didn't seem retaliatory. Like – they tried to make it up like Acuña went into second base trying to spike Miguel Rojas. If you watch that, Acuña went into second base to stop a double play from happening. Like, if he wanted to spike somebody, he would have hit him, like, dead in the leg. He, like, barely caught his pants, if anything, with, like, the very tip of his toe. Like, he wasn't trying to spike. If he was trying to spike somebody, he's terrible at spiking somebody.
That used to be what you just did at second base. You tried to break up the double play to keep the rally alive because we had a runner in scoring position. You do everything you can to break it up. That used to be something that happened literally every day. And now, did you see how close he got to him?
Yeah. But I don't know if it even matters though, kind of, because the way culture is, and I mean, just MLB and just the way the whole thing is, I think both sides would get like suspended. You know what I mean? Tomorrow, if Marlins did something and it wasn't the Braves' fault at all, but Ian Anderson or just whoever, Ozzie or Adam Duvall, whatever, was involved in the brawl, like they would all get suspended because MLB is a bunch of total whack jobs.
Well, that's fine. If anybody gets hit, we're sending Pablo Sandoval out to you know, do the fighting for us.
He's our enforcer.
He's our goon. We can handle that loss. And I like what Ken said.
I just want
Chad Sabatka to start the game just so he can get.
I mean, Chad might not actually be able to hit the person if he's aiming at them.
No,
it would at least be fun to watch. You know,
Pablo Sandoval up there if he was going to hit him. He would need somebody with some girth. It's going to be forgotten about tomorrow because honestly, the Marlins come out and win 4-0 tomorrow, it ain't going to matter. You know, no one's even going to remember. And we're going to be more concerned about winning game 3. So the best way to retaliate, win the series, man. Just send them home. And
for sure.
Maybe this is a motivating factor. Maybe it isn't because, you know, they say in baseball, motivation is the next day's starter. So let's say or momentum. Momentum is the next day's starter. So
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Braves are in a good place. Let's talk about the best part of the game, though. The offense comes back. As they have all year, if the Braves can get into bullpens in the playoffs, the Braves can make a deep run. That's all it comes down to. The Braves can, if they can hang around long enough to get into a bullpen, they can win.
And this is a good Marlins bullpen, too. Like, this is not a terrible bullpen. This is, I think they've won, golly, they won 30-something games this year, 31 games, I think, when leading after seven. So,
yeah.
I mean, this is a team that has a very solid bullpen. So it's not like it's a weak link, but that just shows this Braves team just, you can't, it's hard to keep this offense down for a long time. Yeah. They're just that talented.
They're that good. And, and especially against bullpens, it feels like after the seventh, we know the stories, the stats go up, the Braves get better, where most teams tend to get worse. The Braves just get better. And it's not like the Braves are bad against starting pitching all the time. Obviously, you know, you look at the Red Series, they struggled against the starting pitching. They get into the bullpens. And, yeah, the first game went 13 innings and they finally win. But even in that game, the Braves had traction against the bullpen. They didn't score in the 9th, 10th, 11th, you know, but they had men on base in all those innings. They were close to breaking through. They had traction. And in the and then, of course, the clincher against the Reds, they blow it open against the bullpen. And in the same way today, Alcantara, whatever you say his name, gets in a little bit of trouble. The Braves are patient with him. He's close to his pitch count. They get in the bullpen. They rack it up, you know. And this team's phenomenal when they just grind out at bats. I mean, that whole thing started out with Austin Riley, of all people, grinding out a 7-mile-per-hour dribbler back up through the shift, basically. And it worked, you know, and that started the whole thing and ran on. It was a lot of fun to watch. The bullpen, I don't think we could say enough about this bullpen that the Braves have. I mean,
dude, they're so good. I was honestly, I was late. I was late on the bullpen. You know, like bands come out or whatever, and like I was late. And you guys were early. Yeah. You guys were early on the bullpen. I was like,
we got the bullpen before it was cool. dude, one guy I was late on, man, is Tyler Matzek. Dude, that dude's a hoss. That dude, I was sleeping on him. I was like, I didn't really, you know, it didn't really register to me like the job he's doing this year. Him and Darren O'Day. Darren O'Day for the longest time was a joke.
Like, we didn't
existed.
We didn't know if he existed. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like 2 years being injured, and we're like, yeah, apparently we traded for this O'Day guy, but no one's ever.
Right.
Those two guys, man, have just been awesome. It's great to have a veteran like O'Day to come in, a guy who's, you know, in his mid 30s, been there before. And then a hoss like Matzek, who's just one of those. Baseball seems to have these stories of guys that just come out of nowhere and are outstanding.
What a cool story with that guy. I mean, cool dude was out of baseball. I mean,
how trying to prove himself. Can touch 98 out of baseball that long.
Yeah.
You're a lefty that touches 98. How are you not finding a job? Like, there's always a job for lefties that can throw that way.
It had to have been control or something. But I don't know.
Well, he really Rich Kranz deserves a lot of credit for this. Snicker should get a lot of credit for, you know, maybe manager of the year. But
yeah.
But Rich Kranz, dude, that guy deserves a heck of a lot of
credit. And like player development and scouting and stuff like that, there's so much energy and resources that goes into finding these guys. Like, how do you find that? How do you find Tyler? He was playing indie ball.
Something. Yeah.
Like, how do you?
Right, the making bacon.
Like, it's, yeah. Like, you know, I just have the utmost respect for these guys.
What am I looking at?
What did you just draw?
I drew us three. I'm just drawing while I'm listening.
A little Bob Ross over here.
thought you guys would enjoy
that. A little Josh over here.
Oh, man.
Hey, get my flag in the background next time.
The Trump 2020. I like that. Yeah. Did you get that today?
Yeah, my friend Jeff gave it to me today, actually, at the radio station.
That's funny.
Nikki won't let me hang it in the window.
Oh, that's sad. She's looking at tomorrow, the Braves have Ian Anderson going against Pablo Sandoval. No, it's Pablo Lopez, I think, or Pedro Lopez or something. Pablo Lopez. I think it's Pablo. What is Pablo? Like, if you made Pablo into an American name, what name is that? So, like...
It's not.
I have no idea.
It's not Paul.
Paul.
Paulo.
Yeah.
Pablo.
Because you know, sometimes a lot of times Spanish names are like, you know, well, you got like Juan for John. You know, he's like John. He's Juan. You know, he's like maybe Pablo is like Peter. I don't know.
It could be. Maybe there's not a direct translation.
Maybe there's not. Also, there's not.
Hey! Excuse me. Speaking of direct translations, I was going to ask theologian Ken about something real quick.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's finish talking about tomorrow's game, and then you can ask me to end the episode, Josh. Does that work?
Yeah, that works.
Okay. So, Ian Anderson, what do you guys think the Braves – now, realistically, what do you – what kind of stat line do you think the Braves need from Ian to be in and win this game?
Need? Ugh. I mean, it depends on
– I'm not saying – because yeah. I don't think Ian has to be six innings of one-run ball to win.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I don't think so either. But, I mean, because what we saw with the Reds was special, and I say that I'm giving kudos to the Reds. They were really good. The pitching was really good. They just were. The first two games, I don't think we're going to experience that with the Marlins.
Marlins have a much better lineup than the Reds do. They are much more.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, yeah. They have a lot of guys that are. The speed stood out to me. Yeah. Man. They got a lot of. Really
I love their second baseman. What's that guy's name? Birdie?
Is he the speed skater? No, the speed skater's their backup second baseman.
Alvarez.
Okay. Birdie looks good defensively, though. He's turning those double plays. They got some good guys, man. That's a good team.
Yeah, they
but their pitching is.
Yeah. I think Ian goes another six strong. Maybe gives up a run. Maybe goes to, I think Ian Anderson, man, I see some special sauce with that kid. He just handles himself like very Soroka-like on the mound.
I feel like he's due a little regression, and he's seen the Marlins enough times that he's not going to surprise them. So I'll be pleased. Like, I'm not saying he can't do what you just said, JT, but I'll be pleased if they get five innings of three-run ball from him. Yeah. I think the Braves can win with five innings of three-run ball from him. Because, look, believe it or not, the Marlins have some really good pitching. Alcantara today – fantastic. The Braves couldn't touch his fastball. He was phenomenal. Sixto Sanchez waiting in the wings in game three. You don't know which Sixto you're going to get, but if it's the good Sixto, he's going to be hard to hit. Mm-hmm. Pablo has had a really good year, but not against the Braves. That 29-run game, he started it, right? Several of the Braves' big blowouts against the Marlins, he started it. You got to feel good that the Braves have a good shot of putting up runs tomorrow. Now, they might not. You know how it is. The playoffs don't mean anything. Your previous record they doesn't always weird. Mean anything. But that's what I'm feeling. So let's say Ian gets us five innings, three-run ball. Do you think the Braves win, Josh? What do you think he needs?
To win the game? I think the offense is pissed off. I'm buying into the whole, like JT said, next day motivation thing, like 100%. I think they show up tomorrow pissed off, and I think
I guess that's one way to get rid of Josh is to have him just randomly disappear from the show while we're recording. But there we go. We're back live. JT, what do you think? You obviously said you think he can give us six run, one inning. One run.
Honestly, I think if we hold the Marlins to four or less, we win the game. I could see us being a 7-4 type game. It's impossible to say we're going to hold them to one run. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm back.
Sorry.
He's back. He's back, people.
I could see if we hold them to four or less, we win. Four is the cutoff to where I'm worried. As long as they keep a four or less on the board, I feel good as to where we're at. But this is the Braves. We could be down 8-1 as long as like the fourth inning. I'm not giving up. You know, who knows?
Like today when they were down by four, and JT told us it was football season.
Did he say that? I missed that.
I'm not giving up. But it's football season, boys.
I think it won't be like 29 again. You know what I mean? But I think it'll be ridiculous. I think it'll be dinger after dinger tomorrow. I think it'll be an offensive juggernaut. That's my prediction. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it may be a fight.
So, hopefully Josh, fight. You wanted to ask the theological questions. Fire away.
Yeah, I was reading Ephesians tonight. Yeah. And I was in like the second to last chapter, and it's talking about like, walking Christ-like, or just kind of walking like God. You know, being Christ-like. And one of the things it said was, or Paul's talking to the Ephesians, and Paul says something about not doing certain things like sexual immorality and this and that. And then he says crude jokes. And I want to know the original Greek on that, because I'm having a really hard time applying that to my life / you know, wondering if I should have, is that even possible? Like, can I even do that?
You're trying to figure out a way where you're trying to justify, well, he doesn't mean my kind of crude jokes.
Exactly.
He means crude jokes back then.
totally different jokes, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Let no man deceive you with vain words. Like, is that the one? Is that where you're talking about? Yeah. That whole section there. Okay.
Right.
But walk in love. Right.
That's it.
Yep, but fornication, put away all uncleanness, covetousness, let it be named, yet filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Oh, what version? See, ESV says, right where it said jesting, I guess, ESV says crude jokes.
Okay, yeah.
And I was like, that counts me out. I don't know how not to do that.
Yeah, it can be a bit challenging. I mean, and I fell at it frequently, right?
Yeah.
All the time. All the time. Also, quit whacking your pud so much. That's all.
Did you say whacking your pud?
That's what it means.
I did really enjoy Ephesians. Galatians was really good. I'm almost done with Ephesians, so it's really good.
Okay.
Why were they not called the Ephesians? Because it was a church at Ephesus.
Efficiencies.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh, all of that talks about things that are not necessarily fruitful, right?
Right.
For the fruit of the spirit is all good. This is a long discussion that we probably can't have at the end of a podcast and complete wholly.
Right.
But the gist is that there's a goal where we don't say crude, mean things and jest about. Because the thing, this is the statement. Let me just simplify it this way. Uh-huh. The things you will laugh at, you will allow.
That's a great way to put it. You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm guilty. Thank God for grace, mercy, forgiveness, because like I do all those things too. So just saying, the things that we laugh at, we will allow in our lives.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Anyway,
our group text is going to get real lame.
It's going to get weird for sure.
there we go.
I'm probably about to get well actually by myself. I'm going to well actually myself here in a little bit. But thanks for listening to the Not Combination Podcast Show. Go Braves. It's been a fun one. Hang on to your britches. It's tomorrow in
it.
Draws. Hang on to your draws. Hey, would you like to support the show by becoming a patron and proving that you are a citizen of the Knockahoma Nation? You can do so at patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. We appreciate it.
Attention to the shirts with crude humor on them. This.
Yes. Yeah. We need to kind of revisit that, Ken, after this discussion. So.
Yeah. Well, if people were actually buying them, it would matter, but no one's buying them. That's a good point. But hey, if you'd like to buy one of those crude shirts, it's shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahoma nation.
Hey, we got a new patron this week.
We did. That's correct. Josh, do you remember what his name was?
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, I guess I'm going to have to dig this thing up here.
I think it was Adam?
Charles Young. Woo! Thank you, Charles, for supporting this show.
Thanks, Charles.
I think we gained a patron and lost one all at the same time. That's
the story of my Twitter life.
Thanks, Josh. It's all your fault.
Hey, honestly, it probably is.
We will be back tomorrow with follow-up from whatever happens in the Braves game. Enjoy your day. Go Braves. And remember, just because it's a 2 o'clock start doesn't mean you can't work 9 to 5.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Knockahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NTN. Special thanks to Research Assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.